As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. Realignment Palooza continues. And I couldn't think of two more perfect people to talk about this with than the hosts of One True Pod, which you can hear on Thursdays on the Andy Staples and Friends podcast channel, or maybe we're going to call it the podcast network. But Max Olson and Sam Kahn, you guys, this is what you do. And oh my God, Max has a huge story up on The Athletic right now. Max, you reported that Bob Bowlsby from the Big 12, George Kliavkov from the Pac-12 meeting about a potential merger or maybe a scheduling alliance or something, but it could be that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 working together in the future.
First of all, I apologize to your listeners for having to hear from me again. I feel like we've been doing this a lot, Andy.
A lot. Well, you keep breaking lot. Everything.
A lot. I think that, Bob Bowlsby kind of, as you heard yesterday, Sam, Bob Bowlsby dropped quite a few hints to this possibility yesterday during his appearance in front of the Texas Senate that, those politicians wanted a clear sense of what are your options? And he floated, hey, we could potentially merge with the conference. We could potentially have a scheduling alliance. We could even get into some sort of deal where we are working together with a conference to negotiate our next TV deal together or something like that. There could be other unforeseen possibilities here. The sense in the Big 12 is like, there's no bad ideas right now. We got to talk about anything that we could do to preserve our, A5, P5 status and try and get the revenue back to something livable here after Texas and Oklahoma leave the conference. As Bob Bowlsby said yesterday, the distribution on the TV deal this year was about $28 million per school. What do you got to do to try and get back to that in some way when the two most valuable brands in your conference exit?
Yeah, I think this is a smart decision on Bob's part. The damage is done on Texas and Oklahoma, and the options of being able to recoup the 50% of revenue, he said $28 million is distributed to every Big 12 member in TV revenue every year, and that OU and Texas' value is probably half that, which means you're looking at least a $14 million a year hit for each of these schools, and mitigating that loss is of the utmost importance to Bob Bowlsby and those eight remaining Big 12 members. So doing something along these lines, whether it's a merger, whether it's a scheduling alliance, and both of these schools have Fox as a partner, could you see them pooling together for a joint broadcast deal with Fox to get a more lucrative deal with these schools together? I think it's a smart option, and it's a creative way to try and keep this league together.
Well, Andy, you've talked about the possibility of, well, why doesn't the Big Ten just go take the best assets from the Pac-12, right? I think part of this idea of collaborating is just what if we can protect each other by neither of us gets raided if we work together and all of our members get on board with this. Now, obviously there's two very different scenarios going on here in terms of the different sides. There's not desperation in the Big 12, but there is urgency certainly, whereas things are much less tumultuous in the Pac-12. So can you sell all that leadership on a deal that, while it may save the Big 12, is there enough value on the Pac-12 side that this is worth partnering up?
Well, that's the question. And USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, those are the schools that have to answer that question. If they're cool with it, then you're in good shape if you're the Big 12. Now, we don't know what we're exactly describing here is the question, though. If we're talking about a merged conference with 20 teams, that is probably going to require some convincing on the part of the folks from the Big 12 to say, hey, look, you know, we may not bring all the revenue you would hope, but because you're going to have your own new TV deal, this would be its own new TV deal. We can probably get you to where you were. And then maybe there's a different model for selling third tier rights, which the Big 12, I would say, had correct and is something that the Pac-12 would like to do, where you could do your own third tier rights. Because if you're USC and you can sell your third tier rights individually and don't have to plow that into a Pac-12 network that doesn't give you anything back, then you might be pretty happy with that. That would keep you from having the wandering eye. But they've got to be able to convince them that. And oh, by the way, they just kicked ESPN in the shins. So I'm sure ESPN is going to be thrilled to talk about how much money they're going to pay for a merged league.
Well, and George Klyevkov just started his job on July 1. So obviously he inherited issues, some pretty clear, very publicly well-reported issues that the Pac-12 has relative to the SEC and Big Ten. So the question is there a piece of this deal that solves some of those things, where there is the network, or it is some of the just the revenue aspects of trying to feel like, hey, we have to respond to and keep up with the SEC and the moves they're making. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I need to like assure people this ain't going to happen tomorrow, right? This is a long play, I think, on both sides, if they even can get on the same page and find something that's agreeable. Certainly the idea of a merger would take a lot of work to work through a lot of details. But I think there's, you know, folks on the Big 12 side feel like, hey, we have time to figure this out and we have to explore this. And, you know, I think even the stuff like geography, like, yeah, does West Virginia want to play games on the West Coast at night? Like, no, that's not their dream scenario. But at this point, until you have some offer from the ACC in front of you, like, you can't say no to any of this stuff. You have to explore these possibilities if it can keep you in a good position. And so from what I've heard, they've even been supportive of exploring this.
What might a scheduling alliance look like? Because everybody looks at this and says, oh, merger. But it's also possible that they do a scheduling alliance or do a somewhat combined sale of media rights, but not a total merger. So what other options would be on the table?
Yeah. Do you think that when that hits your ear, do you think that means more, we'll do the crossover games in non-conference, or do you think that's kind of doing a conference schedule that's a little bit above?
If I'm the Big 12, I want the merger. If I'm those eight schools remaining in the Big 12, I want the merger. But if I'm in the Pac-12, I want to explore both and figure out which makes me more money in the long run. Increasing the quality of the non-conference games for the Big 12 would help in their new deal if they were to stay their own league and then add some teams. So I think they can help each other that way. It really, because the Pac-12 is in the position of power, it depends on what those schools would want. But Sam, I'm curious what you think about this. Those schools have been historically somewhat academically snobby, but they're not completely against dealing with schools that aren't, say, AAU members, because some of them aren't. You know, three of the Pac-12 are not AAU members. So do you think getting into the Texas market, getting into Oklahoma, getting into places that are pretty football crazy, do you think that outweighs what they've, you know, historically looked at in terms of what they want in their membership?
No doubt. I think it is. And for the same reason you guys were mentioning earlier about protecting each other, is we discussed this earlier, Andy, the Pac-12 is the next most vulnerable league now after the Big 12 of the Power Five. So whatever you can do to mitigate your risk, I think is helpful. And then the other question I have is, if you are going to do that, what say would the Pac-12 have, if any say, about who the Big 12 adds? You know, when the Big 12 decides, if they decide to do this merger and they decide to do a scheduling alliance and work together, does the Pac-12 have some say? And do they say, hey, Big 12, we want you to look at Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, SMU, you know, who are those schools? You know, where are those markets that the big Pac-12 would like to have some eyeballs in? I think that's worth considering, because if they do something, my other question is does the Big 12 need to add some schools before they make this kind of merger?
Yeah, I'm thinking if it's a merger, you just stay at eight. You just try to merge those eight in and be a 20-team league. The more mouths to feed probably doesn't satisfy the Pac-12 if in a merger situation. But in a scheduling alliance situation, yeah, I would think they're going to want something a little more robust.
And that's why the interesting piece of this is, and Bowlesby spoke on it on Monday to these politicians that, you know, they were pressing him on, has expansion begun? Have you already had these conversations? Have you reached out to potential members about joining the Big 12? And the way Bowlesby explained it to them is there's a sequence of events here. And the first one would be, let's look into a partnership. Because I think if you, I know that these are all kind of strange bedfellows, but like, are you a little bit more excited about the idea? If you're in like Stillwater, are you a little more excited about the idea of USC coming to town than UCF?
I think so. I definitely think so. And I think if you're TV, you're more excited about that too. I have that Bob Bowlesby clip from that Texas Senate hearing. So let's listen to Bob Bowlesby now talking about that.
Process and discuss?
It varied from institution to institution.
I know, but wouldn't it be fair? I mean, wouldn't it be really fair to say that some of your members just didn't want U of A, for instance, to be able to recruit in the same conference with them in the Gulf Coast area?
I didn't hear that expressed, but we talked about the impact of the Houston area when we met with the folks from the University of Houston, and that was the board chair and the athletic director and the president.
Yeah, I was kept abreast to it, and honestly, we're still a little dismayed that you wouldn't see the vitality of the community that even the professor mentioned. So you're at.
Well, we also looked at Central Florida as an example in the Orlando community. We looked at South Florida that was in Tampa. We looked at Las Vegas. There were.
Are you doing that currently? Because you're at eight and you need to be at 10, at least, I think, under your ESPN agreement.
Well, we're happy that we did the research the last time around, and that will give us a jump start going forward. There may be others that we'll want to consider.
I mean, our instruction was the future. Would it be fair to say you're having those conversations now?
At some level.
Fairly informal.
We haven't had formal conversations on candidate members because we think it's there's a sequence in which we need to act, and that includes some of the collaborations that I mentioned earlier.
What's your timetable to consider additional members?
We don't have a timetable at this point.
Well, could you do one for me?
I could, but I don't care to, Senator.
Senator Whitmire trying to get Bob to commit.
Bob, it was funny
said,
watching
hey,
this.
Hey, stay tuned, Senator.
I love. You know, can you do this? Can you do one for me?
some of these guys came in with pretty clear like agendas that they wanted to talk about. Whitmire wanted to get some answers Houston. On why the Big 12 has no love for Houston. Another wanted to get some answers on why won't these in-state schools schedule North Texas in non-conference play. So there were some interests there that came to the surface.
Yeah, and so this is interesting because I'm just sort of doing the math on this thing, and we don't know what's going to happen. I will point out a little bit of history. The last time the Big 12 commissioner, who was not Bob Bowlesby at the time, it was Dan Beebe, met with the new commissioner of the PAC insert number here, it was Larry Scott. And Larry Scott at the time came away from that meeting and said, that was interesting. Now I'm going to hatch a plan to steal half the league and create a 16-team league that the TV networks would love. And he almost pulled it off. He almost pulled it off, but Texas pulled an okey-doke at the last minute and said, you know what? We would like to keep our third-tier rights and create a cable network of our own. And Larry Scott's like, no, we've been talking the whole time about we're going to create a conference network. And Texas is like, yeah, but the Big 12 is going to let us create a cable network, so we're going to stay in the Big 12. And then that all fell apart. But I'd imagine if you're the remaining eight now, you're saying, George Kliafkoff, please hatch a plan to steal us all.
Well, and wouldn't you think, Andy, that like this coming out is not a bad thing for the Pac-12 either, because maybe it creates more options for them if the Big Ten sees this and says, maybe we need to get a little more serious about talking to you guys.
It does, especially in terms of a scheduling alliance, because the Pac-12 Big Ten scheduling alliance makes the most logical sense. One, because they were already going to do it, and then they decided not to when the Big Ten went to 9 conference games, and their partners in the Rose Bowl and all that. And it's some pretty big brands that we're talking about. But I think this is Bob Bowlesby also doing everything he can, and he's been put in a terribly difficult situation. This is the best possible thing he could create. If he could pull this out of his hat, I mean, he retires because he's not going to be doing this too much longer. He was already planning on retiring within the next few years. But if he pulls this out of his hat, he retires as the hero of those schools.
Well, and you hold them together, you know, if this can work out, as opposed to people going their separate ways to the AAC or the Mountain West and, you know, living in a world where that distribution is 5 million a year. Yeah. I mean, it would make a huge difference. And, you know, we've had skepticism in the past about, well, can these eight really trust each other and collaborate and, you know, come to that same conclusion that, you know, working together is going to put the best options on the table. I think this makes it a little bit easier for them to, I would think, collaborate and, you know, get serious about, okay, maybe we can, maybe this league won't die. Maybe we can do something together.
Yeah. I think it's a Hail Mary, but you got to try all your options. And again, I go back to the financial, and Max, you mentioned it, the financial devastation that'll hit these departments is just enormous. And so anything you can do to mitigate that issue, and again, $14 million a year in TV rights is not bad, but when you consider that's half of what they're doing now, they've got to figure out something. So they're going to figure out every option they can that can keep them in the ballpark where they are now. And this makes a lot of sense if they can make it happen.
As Mac Rhodes said yesterday, it's hard to envision any scenario where they're made whole at the end of this. So they've got to pursue whatever option is out there that gets them as close as possible.
Yeah, and they're trying, and you cannot blame them for that. I would do everything possible. The timing of this is interesting because I can envision a scenario if you somehow convince the Pac-12 that a merger is a good idea, and I'm not sure you can, but if you could, think about this. So the Pac-12's TV deal runs out after the 23-24 school year. It expires on June 30th, 2024. So that's 1 year before the Big 12's expires. So how about this? You manage to keep Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12 for the next 3 years and get that money from that contract. You then move into the new thing with a new contract that starts July 1st, 2024. And you say to Texas and Oklahoma, vaya con Dios, been nice knowing you.
That would be a very polite way of saying goodbye for sure.
Yeah. Maybe you squeeze a check out of them because there's still one more year on that Big 12 deal. Probably not the full amount, but maybe a little bit, because you just make it go faster and they want to get to the SEC faster. So it is possible. Max, I know we got to let you go because you are busy scooping the world on these stories and writing a million things at once. So thank you so much for joining us. And you can hear Max and Sam on One True Pod on Thursdays this fall on the Andy Staples Show and Friends channel. But Max, I'm sure I'll be calling you again in about 24 hours for another podcast.
One source I talked with this morning was like, you know, I think hopefully this stuff will calm down after this, because, you know, it's time to get ready for this semester and this season. So, hey, you know, maybe so. Maybe this will all just go totally quiet and get super chill for the rest of the year. We can only hope, right?
And we can just talk about football.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, Sam, let's discuss all of this because you and I were going back and forth during that Texas Senate meeting on Tuesday, and we had a lot of fun with that. And it was just crazy because it felt like it was there were everybody had their own agenda, but the main agenda was let's kick Texas. Let's roast Texas. This was the Comedy Central roast of Texas. And you know, these schools are very mad. And you had representatives from Baylor talking, you had Texas Tech, and you had people who were affected and aggrieved. And this is going to be a very contentious breakup. And the parts that I was most interested in are them trying to nail down Jay Hartzell, the president of Texas, on the timeline of when all this started. Because, you know, the Big 12, they really want to get to the bottom of when Texas and the SEC started talking, and Hartzell would not give them anything on that.
Yeah, he was. I've got to say, I was pretty impressed with how he handled himself because they were coming at him, and I thought he stayed pretty composed and organized and measured in his words. He was pretty careful, but yeah, the gist of what he gave them was him and Joe Harris, though, you president, talked after he was appointed as full-time president back in the fall. They had discussed then in very general terms about the future of the Big 12 and how comfortable OU and Texas felt in it and whether or not they wanted to stay and explore a move. And then he said they contacted Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, this spring. Hartzell said he reached out himself. He said the SEC did not reach out to them. Had a Zoom call with Sankey about the possibility and to see if it was feasible to go and join the league. And once Sankey made clear that it was feasible, then that's when things started cranking up. And I think that's probably around the time also that the Big 12 went to Fox and ESPN to game out what the temperature would be on redoing the TV rights. And the ESPN Fox told them, we're not really that interested in doing that right now. I think that's probably what accelerated this entire process. But Hartzell, I think, gave us for the first time at least a little bit of insight into the timing of this beyond what we heard when the story was broken.
Yeah, I've always thought if we were looking at it logically, the final straw probably was the Big 12's contract was not going to be revisited by ESPN and Fox before it ended, whereas the SEC's contract, where they have got to deal with CBS that is severely under market for the best game of the week each year or each week, and ESPN is throwing money at that during a pandemic 4 years before the contract ends. I mean, that tells you how the networks view or how ESPN views the SEC and how it views the Big 12. Now, you can get into whether there was conspiracy or not, but that's more market forces than anything else. And that's the part. They kept trying to nail down Hartzell on this, and they also did this with the folks from the remaining Big 12 schools, where they kept trying to get everybody to say, you know, the Big 12 is going to die. Mm-hmm. And Hartzell wouldn't say the Big 12 is going to die. But what Hartzell also wouldn't say is, we just thought the SEC was better. And that is the fact of the matter. You've told us by your actions you thought going to the SEC was better. And I think most objective observers would agree that the SEC is a better conference home than the Big 12 for anybody.
There's no doubt. And that was a thing that was interesting. They tried to get him to say it about five different ways that, well, what's wrong with the Big 12? And why do you feel like you have to leave the Big 12? And it was over and over and over. And he said, look, I don't think the Big 12's doomed. I don't think it's going to die. I just think for us, I'm trying to forecast the future. This is not a 2021 decision. It's being made in 2021, but it's not for 2021. Hartzell said, I'm looking at 2025 and beyond and trying to forecast, hey, we get these decisions to make these moves once every decade plus, because they signed that grant of rights in 2013. So by 2025, it will have been 12 years. So in that window, we've got to make the decision. Is this the best home for us, or do we need to find something else? And given all the circumstances of last year, we feel like the SEC has a better game day experience, gives us better edge in recruiting, and obviously the TV deal is much, much better and gives us a better chance long-term, because right now the gap between Texas and Oklahoma and those SEC schools is not very big. But in 6 or 7 years after that tier one deal kicks in for the SEC in 2024, you better believe it's going to be big, because you're talking perhaps a difference of $30 million a year in media revenue rights distributed between the SEC schools, what they distribute, and what the Big 12 schools would distribute in 4 or 5 years.
Well, and I think what we're hearing today, what Max reported, tells you the Big 12 is not doomed. And listen, the Big 12 is never doomed. The Big 12 could go on as a conference. It just may not be as prestigious as it was before. Like, they can add schools if they wanted to, continue operating as the Big 12. There's still a conference that makes money, that is probably more middle class than Group of Five, or we're going to have to change the names of all these. Is it going to be Power Three, Power Four, whatever? But it would be a middle class type league. The schools would still be making, you know, 8-figure payouts from television. They'd still have 7-figure head football coaches. They'd still have crazy fans and full stadiums and cool uniforms and all that stuff. They just wouldn't be considered at the same level as Alabama or as Ohio State. And they wouldn't be in a league with somebody who's considered of that level. So if you can do something with the Pac-12, then maybe you do that. But it's interesting, because the Pac-12, what have we been talking about for the last few years? That they don't have any teams on that level. But I think from a brand standpoint, they do. I think USC is definitely there. I think Oregon's definitely there. Oregon may be there on the field.
I think the best way it was put yesterday was Baylor Athletic Director Mack Rhodes said, we need to make sure that for the state of Texas, for these three schools, that this is not a demotion. And that is essentially what it is. It's when right. You lose Texas and OU, the Big 12 is not dying, but it is going to be demoted. It is losing its status. And so that's why it's such, and again, we go back to the financials of it and how much it'll hit them. That's why it's such a big deal. That's why we're having a Texas State Senate committee having a hearing about this, because, you know, all these politicians are alums of some of these schools, and it's going to impact those schools and those towns in a big way. And it's going to have real consequences, which is unfortunate. But that's the reason why I think so many people have said, well, what's with the Big 12? What's the reason with the problem with the Big 12? It's not so much the problem with the Big 12, it's so much that the SEC is just that much better at this point, or will be that much better in 4 or 5 years in terms of stability and financial outlook.
Well, and one thing working against those Big 12 schools is they had that dog and pony show a few years ago with the Group of Five schools saying, well, come see if you're worthy of joining us, and then found none of them worthy of joining them. And they got a little raked over the coals about that in the hearing as well. I've got a clip. We heard from Senator Whitmire earlier, but this is Senator Whitmire talking to Mack Rhodes, the Baylor AD, who has seen this from several sides, because he used to be the Houston athletic director. He also used to be the Missouri athletic director. So he's seen this from many, many different angles. But here's him getting grilled over Houston by Senator Whitmire.
Why wouldn't you mention U of H and other institutions? Is being schools we would be looking out for their best interest?
Well, as you know, UH is near and dear to my heart.
I do know.
I spent 5 years there, and we were able to accomplish a lot while I was there. I think
you could
testify
to the impact of being left out of a major conference.
Sure. And I think for right now, I'm certainly focused primarily on the three that there isn't, so to speak, a demotion. Yeah. As we think about moving forward, certainly UH could be somebody that we look at. So could a number of other schools, dependent upon a bunch of different factors, and what can we put together that provides the most value.
And it's only logical because that's the three that are in transition right now, or certainly at this table. But when we start talking about the great state of Texas and how we want to look out for the state, it just seems like there's another obvious university that would be on everyone's mind.
They keep slipping it in there, Sam.
I tell you, John Whitmire is a proud University of Houston graduate. Boy, you could always count on him to be carrying the UH flag at the Capitol, man. I felt bad for Mac because Mac's not the commissioner, and so he's not right. Making this decision. And Whitmire's basically like, why don't you invite UH? And so Mac was
He picked the guy that's going to be the most sympathetic toward Houston as well, because he worked there for 5 years.
Right. Golly. So it's fascinating. I will say this on that, and I don't remember if you and I have talked about it. I know I've talked about it with Max and Jason on One True Pod, is I do like the idea of getting Houston and SMU in that league and putting together essentially more than half of the old Southwest Conference back together. Because if you're not going to make the money that you were making with Texas and OU, the next best thing, in my opinion, is make it a fun experience for the fans, bring back some regional rivalries and interests, and make it an easy experience where, hey, guess what? You can actually drive to a road game once in a while.
Yeah, footprint matters. I keep saying it's not the driving force of this round of realignment, and it's not. But footprint still matters if you're going to do a cable network. But if you're not going to do a cable network, if you're going to sell your third-tier rights individually or stream them, just make the most competitive, most fun league you can with the best brands you can get. And obviously, if the Pac-12 is down to merge, merge. Do it. But if they're not, if they want something different, and they say, well, why don't you guys bump yourselves up to 12, and that way we'll be 12 and 12, and we can do some fun scheduling alliance that'll make us all some more TV money. You know, I think Cincinnati and UCF would be good options. USF could be a good option. But I also think SMU and Houston would be great options for them, because I do think the football part of that would be a lot of fun. The rivalry part of it would be a lot of fun. And you could create something that people want to watch. And I don't know if it's the same number of people that want to watch Oklahoma-Auburn, but there's still real money in having several hundred thousand or a million people wanting to watch your game, which you could do with that league.
Yeah, and that's the thing that Stu Mandel did that breakdown in a lot of those top American Athletic Conference games that involve some of those teams that you just mentioned, and those Big 12 games we're getting that number around a million or in the high six figures in viewers. And those are pretty similar enough that if you package them together, hey, maybe you actually have a decent deal. Again, it's not going to approach what the old one is. And I agree with you. If you can make the Pac-12 merger thing happen, you go for it, because you exhaust all measures you can to mitigate this loss. But if that doesn't happen, I think this makes a lot of sense. But it was certainly interesting to hear everybody, including Whitmire, vouch for their alma maters on the panel yesterday.
Well, speaking of vouching for your alma mater, Charles Perry, he's a Texas Tech grad, if I'm not mistaken. He had this one when queued up and probably pre-written, but I really appreciated anytime you can work Christmas vacation into a Senate hearing where you're yelling at Texas about changing conferences, you've got to do it. So let's hear Charles Perry talking to Texas President Jay Hartzell. This is an epic rant right here.
I think we do have a vested interest in monitoring activities that impact us statewide. And arguably, you can't deny the fact that football and changes thereof, unfortunately, whether I agree or not, that we probably put way too much emphasis on it, but the fact that we do, that's the rules of the day, impacts us. And I think that, I said it earlier, there's going to be some proposals in legislation that I'm sure you guys are not going to find overwhelming, but you can't be the flagship. You can't carry the Texas name. And you know, if you're as big and great as you think you are, you should have made the Big 12 equal or better than the SEC, and you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of feel sorry for the SEC. Cousin Eddie's coming home, and he don't leave till he's wrecked the whole house. And I don't quite think they understand where they think you're coming in at. I know where they think they're at. So that's a different topic. They made their bed, they'll lie in it. But I really think as a state, I'm very disappointed about how this has transpired. I'm as a legislature and a policy deal goes, I'm really disappointed that this wasn't even a conversation. And I understand proprietary stuff, but don't you think we might have should have known?
Don't you think we might have should have known? Well, I don't know. Did you have to know? And here's where I really kind of laugh. They're saying, well, why couldn't you make the Big 12 better? Why is that Texas's responsibility? Why couldn't Texas Tech make the Big 12 worth more money? Why couldn't Baylor make the Big 12 worth more money? Why couldn't TCU make the Big 12 worth more money? Texas and Oklahoma aren't responsible for the financial well-being of all those other schools.
It's also Bob Bowlesby's job to make sure the conference is at maximum strength. And I think this goes back in part to the 2016 conversation of the dog and pony show and expansion, which multiple folks I talked to at schools that called it a sham. They felt like it was a sham experience. So the Big 12 had a lot of factors that led up to this, to this position and instability. Texas had its part, obviously, because of what happened in 2010. Yeah.
Well, and he's right. Listen, he's right about the Cousin Eddie thing.
Yeah.
Because Texas ran that entire round of realignment, did what was best for Texas, which is Texas's right, but that had a huge destabilizing effect on everybody else. So he's not wrong when he says that. Now, he is probably wrong when he says he feels sorry for the SEC because Texas could come in and wreck everything. The difference is the other members of the Big 12 were pushovers compared to who Texas is going to be in the league with now. Like, if Texas tries to come in and dictate terms to Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Florida, and Auburn, that's not going to go very well for Texas. And I think the people at Texas probably do realize that.
Yeah, I do. I do too. And you also have to understand that there's a change in leadership. There's a different president. There's a different athletic director. It's an entire different structure now at Texas than it was in 2010. But I agree with you. Yeah. They had their role, but the Big 12 had its own issues as well. Like you said, it hasn't done well from an NFL draft standpoint, which is why the SEC is more attractive in recruiting. It hasn't done as well just on the field in general. They haven't had any wins in the college football playoff. In the college football playoff era, they have not, the Big 12 has not won or not even been to a national championship since 2009. So that's not just on Texas. Yes, Texas has a role in that, but that's also on everybody else as well. So there are a multitude of factors that led the Big 12 to this spot. And no, it is not only Texas's job or Oklahoma's job to hold up the conference.
Now, that didn't stop everybody from getting their licks in. We got Senator Lois Kolkhorst, and I got to tell you, this is tremendous. I have maybe one quibble with her joke construction, but this was beautiful. She sets it up and just lowers the boom on Jay Hartzell. So listen to Lois Kolkhorst, former TCU golfer, by the way.
Different numbers from all the universities, but what's your athletic budget?
It's over $200 million. It's probably 220, 225 in that range.
Where does that put you in the U.S.?
Depending on how you count, probably first.
And that's without a winning football team of late.
It's in spite of our football team. We've been winning, just not like we like to win.
3-7 against the Horned Frogs. So maybe your fan base would rather lose to Alabama than TCU. So.
Ouch, baby. And
by the way,
I don't know if it was you or me. Yeah, yeah. You were the one who texted me last night to fact check that. It's 2-7, not 3-7. She gave him too much credit.
I also love how Jay Hartzell looked like he wanted to chuckle when it was happening. He definitely held
back. Yeah. By the way, Bob Bowlesby is behind the speaker, the person who's being grilled by the senators, for the entirety of this meeting after Bob Bowlesby got off the stand. And I give him the utmost credit because you would have been able to read my facial features every time somebody said something I didn't like. And he was just poker face the entire time. He'd check his phone every once in a while, but he didn't give anything away. So I would never play poker with Bob Bowlesby because he didn't, like, I would have been grimacing and frowning and smiling and just like putting my head in my hands on certain things. None of that from him. He held it together a lot better than I ever could. But this Jay Hartzell thing, yeah, this is now my only quibble with Senator Kolker's joke is the better joke is maybe your fan base would rather lose to Mississippi State than TCU. Because everybody loses to Alabama.
This is true. Yeah, Mississippi State would be analogous to TCU in the SEC. The other thing about this, you mentioned Bowlesby. In our story on The Athletic about this, Max and I, Max's screenshot of Bob Bowlesby staring daggers into the back of Jay Hartzell's head is at the top of the story. So if you haven't seen that, which I know plenty of people did yesterday on Twitter, that is a wonderful snapshot of where we were yesterday with Bob Bowlesby with that ice grill in the back of Jay Hartzell while he was on the podium.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Now, we've talked about some things that are very interesting today. We've talked about, as Max wrote, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 having a meeting to figure out maybe there's something they can do together, which I think is going to be very interesting to watch going forward. And I do like Max's galaxy brain thinking that maybe the Pac-12 is trying to nudge the Big 10 about a scheduling alliance. Like, hey, we could do a scheduling alliance with them, or we could do a scheduling alliance with you. Or perhaps they do want to merge. Perhaps they want to grow, you know, do what the ACC did in the previous round of realignment, play defense by playing offense, where you grow and that makes it harder to be picked apart, which is why the ACC is where it is in a relatively safe position now, and why the Big East is now a non-football conference, and the American is a conference that exists because the Big East and ACC were peers, and then the ACC acted in its own best interest, protected itself by growing, and it did it by pillaging the Big East. So this is the game that gets played now, and we don't know who does what. We just know that the Pac-12 is in a little better position than the 8 remaining Big 12 schools. The Big 10 is in a better position than anybody, except for maybe the SEC. So we just sort of watch and wait. But there is some absurdity here, Sam. You know, politicians sometimes also read message boards. I mean, they may not admit to it, but we know they do. We've seen that their handles get found out, especially in like Louisiana with LSU, Arkansas. We've seen politicians' handles come out where they're on active on the boards. Now, there is a senator who was asking Texas President Jay Hartzell questions, and Senator Springer, and I'm pretty sure he's on a message board somewhere because I don't know where else he got this from, because I don't believe it was reported anywhere other than the places where the rumors, the real juicy rumors get floated. So let's listen to this.
On the Longhorn Network, so is it going to be just dissolved?
We have that. The expectation is we'll wind it down, but we haven't talked specifically about what that will look like.
Because there was a report out that had something in there that ESPN was going to do a buyout to UT on the Longhorn Network,
yeah,
to the tune of maybe $160 million, and that UT was going to pay the University of Oklahoma's exit fee to the Big 12.
Yeah.
And I guess if that's the case, that's an asset that the state of Texas has created. And if we're going to give $75 million to the state of Oklahoma to pay an exit fee, I've got a really big problem. So you say committing that you're not going to pay IOUs exit
fee? I can commit. I probably should admit this in front of this body. I grew up in Oklahoma, but I'm not going to pay their exit fee. So let me be clear.
I was born in Oklahoma, and I don't want you to pay their exit fee.
Now, let me be clear. I don't know where that came from, honestly. If you think about those cash flows that are in that deal from ESPN, those are in exchange for our tier three media rights.
Correct.
What would make them write a lump sum check for something they never receive? There's no obligation for them to send us a check whether they have or don't have the right to broadcast our games. So it's a ludicrous report, honestly.
So Bob Bowlesby even laughed at that line, by the way.
No, that's the one time he smiled throughout the entire experience.
I'm not going to pay Oklahoma's exit fee. But that essentially was Jay Hartzell's version of the scene in Billy Madison where he says, at no point in your rambling, incoherent, blah, 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 did you say anything, blah, 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 resembling a rational thought. We are all dumber for having heard it, and may God have mercy on your soul. And that's where it probably should have ended. But wait, he tried to dig his way out of it.
I think you could possibly make an argument that they see the value of y'all being at SEC and the Big 12 possibly leveraging y'all to collapse it, that they make more money and they could possibly make $500 million to $1 billion more if the Big 12 ceases to exist and they have four power conferences. So corporations can do their form of cash flow projections and what's more in their interest. And that's why I asked early on today to the commissioner of the Big 12 was how much is ESPN as a corporation playing and manipulating what is happening in our schools' athletic programs.
Yes, sir. I understand the concern. Let's be clear. Not happen, not going to happen. Okay. Don't know where it came from.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam
Chairman. Oh, we know where it came from.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Please get me out of this. Please.
Oh, my goodness.
Because Jay Hartzell at that point is just like, no, 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 no. And remember, this is a guy who's been fairly evasive so far. I don't recall. When he starts going, no, 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 you've stepped in something incredibly dumb.
I when I heard that question, that just blew my mind because not once had I heard from anybody, well, Texas is going to pay Oklahoma's exit fee. Like, what the hell are we talking about here? It's amazing that has circulated somewhere.
Well, and listen, this is what happens when Texas football and Texas politics mix. It is a volatile cocktail that results in pretty funny television.
Oh, man. No, like I said, nobody mixes politics and college football quite like Texas does. But that was some good theater. And certainly it get. I feel like half of it was just to set up and line up bows and arrows at Hartzell. And like I said earlier, I thought Hartzell overall acquitted himself pretty well. He handled it. I thought he handled it pretty in a pretty solid fashion. And I think it'll be interesting to see how this all continues to unfold. I mean, there's still this divorce that has to happen at some point, whether it's in 2025. I would imagine it's probably sooner than that. And I would imagine it's not going to be pretty, but I thought overall he did pretty well considering the way people were setting up at him yesterday.
Well, listen, the Big 12's going out for coffee with somebody else today. Who knows how that might blossom? What if they have a nice conversation? Things go well. Suddenly coffee turns into dinner. Maybe they're going to see a movie. Pretty soon they got toothbrushes in each other's apartments. Come on. This may not be as awful as everybody thinks. We'll see. This stuff is very messy. This is always contentious. But, hey, we're looking at potentially what the next move might be. The remaining schools in the Big 12, having a chat with the Pac-12. Just a couple conferences talking. We'll see what happens. Sam, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you later this week.